That's what we want to talk about today. Can I find a praying church? What is this thing about prayer that makes it one of the gems in the weapon or in the arsenal of the Christian weaponry? Why is it that of all of the things that the church should be doing, Elder Jones, that prayer is the least on the church's agenda? Why is it that on the menu for the nurturing of the faith of the church, that prayer has become a side order that is optional and not a part of the main entree? I tell you why. I tell you why, my brothers and sisters, because prayer is the weapon that Yahweh has given to his people to be able to access the power and the potential to tear down strongholds, to intrude and destroy the enemy's kingdom. Prayer is very, very important in the life of the Christian. But more than that, my brothers and sisters, prayer is very lethal in the arsenal of the church. No wonder the songwriter sang and you heard the choir sing, "Something begins to happen when the church begins to pray." When the church takes seriously this gem, this tool, this resource for accessing the storehouse of God. Yet, my brothers and sisters, the church is very passive when it comes to the necessity of prayer. One of the greatest lacks in those who call themselves the church of the living God is the lack of a passion and a need for praying. We've lost our sense of the importance and the priority of prayer. We spend more time, brothers and sisters, the church that calls itself the church of the living God is more interested in policies and procedures than the power that comes with praying who do God's bidding. We are more fixated on the traditions of the church than truths that are in the word of God that we need to probe and proclaim so that sinners can find a savior. We are more concerned about fringe issues in the church than we are coming together as a people and petitioning Yahweh and wrestling with him like Jacob did and saying, we are not going to leave you until you bless us, until yokes are broken, until strongholds are torn down, until the kingdom of hell lies in submission to the kingdom of Yahweh. My brothers and sisters, prayer is so important. Prayer is so necessary. Matter of fact, prayer is such a weapon that Jesus says to his church in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, if you want an antidote to fear and fainting because of the chaos and the confusion and all of the stuff that the devil puts on you, then you ought to pray. In Luke chapter 18 verse 1, Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not faint. Prayer is the antidote for fainting. Prayer is the antidote for fear. And my brothers and sisters, if the truth be told, we are living in a world today where the hearts of men and women are filling them for fear because they do not know how to access the power of God that breaks the fear. And somebody is asking this morning, can I find a praying church? Prayer is so important that the Apostle Paul encourages us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, pray without ceasing. Paul is not talking about just praying and not stopping. Paul is saying, always be in a posture of prayer. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that should come on your mind is praying. When you walk out your door, the first thing that should come in your mind is praying. When you walk on that job, when you get in your car, when you are sitting caught in traffic, when that crazy driver cuts in front of you and you slam on the brakes and things are falling over in the car, Paul says if your heart is fixated and fixed on prayer, you will forget that you have a finger to show up. When that person gets on your nerve, when you've been tired all day at work and had to go through Walmart to get some grocery and you get your grocery, you got three things in your basket, in your cart, and coming in somebody with a whole lot of stuff falling over from the buggy just swings in front of you and get in the line. Paul says, if you are keeping prayer in your heart instead of saying, my sister, if you beep, 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 that card, fill in the blanks, you will tap them on the shoulder and say, I realize you are in a hurry. Take my place. Prayer is important. But not only is prayer important to us as individual Christians, but prayer, Elder Landry, is important to us as a collective group of people. Somebody says that the church that prays together stays together, the family that prays together. There's something powerful about praying together. This is not a New Testament thing. This is not something new. We see this throughout the scripture. When we look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, we find King Solomon building a temple for the worship of Yahweh. And in chapter 6, Solomon is getting ready to dedicate the temple, and they brought all of the cattle, thousands, and the sacrifices. And Solomon says, I need to pray and petition God to recognize this place. This place must be dedicated to prayer. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, beginning from verse 14 to verses 42, you read it at your leisure when you get home. Solomon began to petition God. God, I have built this house as a dwelling place for you. He said, this place cannot hold you, God. The heavens are too small to hold your glory. But Yahweh, Lord, if you would just honor this simple place, this place that is not capable of housing your omniscience, your omnipotence, and your omnipresence, this place that is not worthy of holding the God who sits high and looks low. He said, God, I petition you that you recognize and accept this place as a place where your people will come together to access power from above. He said, and God, sir, can I make a few petitions? He said, when your people sin, oh, bless his name, when they turn their backs on you, God, and you cause pestilences, pains and problems to come upon them. He said, when they come into this house, I'm talking about, can I find a praying church? When they come into this place dedicated to praying to you, oh, Yahweh, the one who looks beyond our faults and see our need, God, hear the prayer of your people and forgive them and take away your wrath and the pestilences. That place of prayer was so important that Solomon petitioned God, God, when your people go in diaspora, when they are scattered around the world and they're not near this place and they begin to face problems that they cannot solve, God, when they turn toward this house and call on your name, God, I pray that wherever they are, you will hear them and answer them. After Solomon made this petition to God, who is a covenant-keeping God, the God who only says what he means and doesn't say anything that he does not mean, the God who keeps covenant, the God who is able to do what he promised, he answered Solomon and said to Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people who have my name on them, oh bless his name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. God says, Solomon, everything that you are asking me to do, I will do. He said, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins, bless God, and I will heal their land. Now, this is not what God said to Solomon. He didn't say, if the country prays. He didn't say, if Congress prays. He didn't say if the Senate decides to do right. He didn't say if there's the right president in the White House. He didn't say if there are people who have problem with whether there is a God or not a God. He said if my people, and I find a praying church today, people who are called by my name, those of us who say we are sons and daughters of God, those of us who say we have been washed in the blood of Yahweh, yes, we are in a sinful world. Yes, we are surrounded by sin, sin on every side, calamity on every side. But I thank God for the promise that he made to us. If my people, is there two people in here today who can say, I am a friend of God. I am a child of God. I am God's son and God's daughter, not because of anything good that I have done, but because of everything that Yeshua has done. Jesus' blood has washed me and given me right to call him Abba, Father. And my people who are called by my name, watch this, will humble themselves. You know, prayer takes humility. Humility because in praying, you realize, Elder Wilson, that you ain't all that. In praying, you recognize that there's somebody bigger than you. There's somebody more powerful than you. There's somebody who has more resources than you. And to be able to pray, you got to first come in the spirit of humility. Not only that you are insufficient for yourself, but that you have need and someone can supply that need. Is anybody listening to me? The reason why the church is not in prayer is because we feel like we don't have no need. We feel like we are sufficient to ourselves. Yes, we've been blessed to have a decent house, a nice car. God has transitioned us from a Pinto. A few of you know what I'm talking about, right? The postmodern don't even know what a Pinto is. God has transitioned us from the hoopty to a car now, and we would rather go and wash the car after work, then coming to our power and receive power from our high. There is an arrogance in us to feel that we don't need God right now. And it's not that necessary. We're too tired to come. We got plans for tomorrow. The weather is not fair. We can't be caught up in traffic. Turn to somebody and say, that's arrogance. The reason the church does not pray is because prayer is at the bottom of the list. It is something that we do if we have time. It's not something we do because we make time. So God said first, Solomon, the first ingredient to getting this healing of the land is humility. They have to recognize that without me, they can lose their job tomorrow. They have to understand that without me, they may not make it to the job. They have to understand that without me, they may not wake up in the morning to try to make it to the job. Is anybody listening to me? They have to understand that without me, they can work all week and don't get the paycheck because they won't live long enough for the check to come in. Oh, that we will recognize and realize that all our help comes from God. Doesn't matter how educated you are, what promotions you've gotten on the job, how many responsibilities you have. God, we have to be humble enough to recognize that without God, I can do nothing. So God says, Solomon, I will hear your prayer. But here are the ingredients to making this prayer thing work. If my people who are called by my name, now watch this. God is not talking to the world. He's not talking to people that don't know him. God is talking to people who know him, who have his name on them, who are called by his name. And God is saying, I want to bless them. I want to protect them from pestilences and from problems, from the plagues. See, what we don't realize is, brothers and sisters, prayer is what keeps us here. Yes, we are sons and daughters of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him when we see him. We are going to make it to the kingdom because the blood of Jesus has covered us. Now are we the sons of God. Yes, we are going to make it because there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, but there is suffering on earth to them who are in Jesus. There is breakup marriages to them who are in Jesus. There are children that will break your heart to them who are in Jesus. There are job security that will be lost. Cars will be taken away. Houses will be foreclosed. Or sickness will come on you to those who are in Christ Jesus. God is not talking about sinners. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about people who are saved, sanctified, and ready for heaven, because they're not saved by what they do or don't do. They're saved by what he did and what they believe in. But God said, if they want protection from the plagues and the problems that I bring upon the world, there is an ingredient. There is a prerequisite. And the reason most Christians who are saved, mind you, are suffering and struggling is because we refuse to pray. I have pastored long enough, 21 years to be exact. And I can tell when members got problems, because I see them at prayer meeting. And as soon as that problem is solved, you don't see them anymore. Never fails. I can tell who's going to get up and say, giving honor to God, to the pastor and the leaders of the church. My brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to pray for my son. Okay. My husband. My health. And you can always tell when they walk in. These are the ones that do not take prayer seriously. Prayer is something that they grab onto only when they need God. And the arrogance, that's why God said humility. The arrogance of it is to ignore God all this time. Then when something happened, God becomes a bellhop. And he's supposed to show up in a hurry. God says, Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. If they begin to take my relationship with them seriously, he said, then I will hear from heaven. Watch this, watch this. I will forgive their sins. And I will heal the whole land. That means America can get right if this church, oh, bless his name. That means Baton Rouge, the death toll on young black men and women and colored men and women, all of the black on black crime and police on black shooting in this city can stop if just this church. God is saying they are ambassadors to the world, and as it goes for them, so it goes for the world. I will bless the world because they are in it. Come here, Joseph. Can you help me in Potiphar's house? Yes, I came there. His stock was down. Nothing was working, but because I, a child of God, was in that house, all of a sudden, stock went up. Cattle were booming. Everything was working. Potiphar said, what's going on, young man? Since you came here, everything looks like it's being turned into gold. He said, because they're my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I hear from heaven. Forgive their sins and heal their land. Don't you know that your prayer life can change that whole company that you work for? Your prayer life can change the whole neighborhood that you live in. Your prayer life can turn this city, this state, yea, this country around, but it will not happen until the people of God begin to take seriously the need for prayer. And why is it important that we come together and pray instead of praying individually, even though God hears our prayers individually? God, oh, bless his name. He's a God who loves us so much, Elder Lawrence. He wants to give us everything plus some. So he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, he said, you can say to this mountain, whatever the mountain in your life is, move and go yonder in the mountain to have no ear to hear you, no eyes to see where you are commanding it to go, no feet to walk, will begin to move by the power of prayer that comes by the faith the size of a mustard seed. But I'm so glad that God is a plan B, God. Somebody say plan B. God realizes that we are so messed up that he can muster up the size of a mustard seed faith. So God said, we got, I'm going to give you plan B. If two or three of you pull your faith and you can come up with a mustard seed size faith. He said, I'll do the same thing that I wish somebody was listening to me. That's why we got to come together. Because every now and again, my faith is not enough to make a mustard seed size. Your faith is not enough to make a mustard seed size. But what happens when you bring yours in, you bring yours in, you bring yours in, I bring mine, and we pull it together. All of a sudden, we begin to shake the rafters in heaven. And God, who keeps covenant, he is, and answer us. If my people who are called by my name, my brothers and sisters, Jesus, who is God, who according to Paul in Philippians 2, took off his divinity, shrouded himself in humanity, came down on this earth, did not do anything without praying. Jesus, the Bible records in Mark chapter 1 and verse 36, had a period for prayer. Go home and read Mark chapter 1 and verse 36. Jesus had a time for prayer. The Bible says he would get up early and find himself that time to pray. Not these rush prayers we do. Watch TV all night. Wake up late. Rush to the car and do these drive-by prayers. God bless me as I travel on this road. Amen. And the mercy and the grace of God still allows him to keep us when we are so trifling the favor that God wants to do for us. Jesus had a period for prayer. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16 says, Jesus had a place for praying. Jesus understood that you can't just pray anywhere. The particular prayers that shake heaven. Yeah, you can pray in your car. You can pray in the bathroom. You can pray in the shower. You can pray while you're walking. You can pray with but there are some prayers, oh bless his name, that you just can't do anywhere. There's some time of intimacy. It's like I can kiss my wife in public. I can hold her hand in public. We can walk down in Walmart with me, put my hand around her waist. But there are some times of intimacy with my wife that I gotta shut the door, turn the light, cut everything off. Because this is just me and her time. Nobody can peep in. Nobody can see this. Nobody can intrude this. That's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him. He wants us to have that special time with him. So Jesus had a period for praying. Jesus had a place for praying. And Jesus had a purpose for praying. The Bible says in John chapter 11 and verse 14 and 16, Jesus is praying. Lazarus is dead. You know that story in John 11? And Jesus says, let's go and I'm going to wake him up. And Jesus gets there and he encounters Mary and Martha. And you know the dialogue. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yes, I am the resurrection and the life. Yes, I know in the last day, Jesus said, no, Martha, you got it mixed up. I am the last day. Whenever I show up, life comes back. Then Jesus said, I'm talking about the purpose. Jesus said, Father, I know you heard me. And you and I do this thing every day. But for their sake, oh, bless his name. See, sometimes your purpose got to be for their sake. The world has to see the church. Can I find a praying church? Can the world go by here on a Wednesday night and this parking lot is full and cars are everywhere? And somebody asks, what's going on over there? Well, they're at the hour of power. They got a purpose. When Jesus prayed during Lazarus' death, he wasn't praying so that God could give him power. He already had done that. You know, when the internet first started, we used to have what they call dial-up. Anybody remember that? Yeah, you're postmodern. You don't even know what a dial-up is. Yeah, you had to pluck the telephone line in and then pluck it in your computer. And then you do the dial-up, and it will take a little while, and it goes, and then click, and then you're online. And you couldn't stay there too long, because that bill was running up. You had to unplug when you got done. But then they came up with something called Wi-Fi. You can be online 24/7. See, Jesus had a Wi-Fi relationship with God. He wasn't using a dial-up. He was online all the time. If you read that text in John chapter 11, by the time Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick and Lazarus has died, there's nowhere where John records that Jesus stopped and prayed. But when Jesus prays in John 11, 14, he said, Father, I know that you heard me. Wait a minute, Jesus. We didn't hear you pray. We heard you talk to the disciples, Mary and Martha. When did you pray? He said, but for their sake, I'm praying. In other words, Jesus was saying, Daddy, I know you and I are on a Wi-Fi connection. These people are dealing with dial-up. These dial-up Christians get dial-up results. But when you are online Wi-Fi, even when there is time for your computer to be updated, you can be asleep and the computer up. I wish somebody was listening to me. Updates itself because you are on Wi-Fi. Jesus said, I have a purpose for praying. I'm not praying for me. I'm praying for them so that they can see the necessity and the potential and the power of prayer. And then John chapter 17, we see Jesus' purpose for praying. Jesus have four purposes in John 17 for praying. Jesus said, Father, I am praying for them that you will keep them together. Secondly, I am praying, God, that I do not lose any of them that you've given to me. That's a purpose. You got to not just pray auxiliary prayers. You got to be clear on the will of God and pray according to his will. Jesus said, God, I'm praying that the glory that I shared with you, that one day they will share it with me. Jesus had a purpose of praying, a place for prayer, and a period, a time for prayer. And this is why the Bible says when he was at one of those periods, one of those places, doing one of those purposeful praying, that the disciples looked at him and said, wait a minute. He's got to teach us, Elder Landry, how he does this thing. They couldn't disturb him because I know that the prayer was so intense. The glory, the connection, the interaction between God and his son Jesus was so powerful that the disciples had to just stand by and watch. The redactor said when he finished, one of them, I think Elder Landry, it was Peter. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but forgive me, you biblical scholars. I'm just using my preaching imagination. I think Jesus or Peter had watched Jesus. Jesus feeds 5,000. Oh, bless the day. With 5 loaves and 3 fishes. And then he tells the disciples, get in the boat and go on the other side. Because I have a period, a place, and a purpose. Oh, bless his name. He goes up there and he's beginning to pull down the power. And all of a sudden, the disciples are in this hurricane on the sea, in this storm. Jesus doesn't dial 911. He doesn't call SOS for help. All of a sudden, he begins to speak liquid language, and the sea turns into a highway, and Jesus begins to struck down the road going on that sea. In all that storm, they're looking at him and saying he's a ghost. He said, no, you ain't never seen nothing like this before. It is not a ghost. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Peter watched and said, what kind of man is this? One day they're in another boat and they're traveling, and Jesus is taking his rest, because you know he had took off his humanity, divinity, and put on humanity. He felt tired like you and I feel tired, hungry like you and I feel hungry, thirsty like you and I feel thirsty, because he was man or man, even though he was God or God. And in his manness, Jesus is lying in the bottom of the boat. The storm is tossing the boat, water coming in all over, and Jesus just having us snooze. Disciples panicking. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are rushing against us. Carest thou not that we perish? Jesus gets up. He looks at the sea. Here's the storm. And he said, did you not know your creator was sleeping quiet down? Wind, sea, fall asleep. And all of a sudden we go from, whoosh, and they say, what kind of man is this? Turn to your neighbor and say, a praying man. These disciples had seen Jesus do these magnificent feats. After a moment with God in prayer, and they couldn't do it. And And one of them came to Jesus. Teach us. God, if you're going to leave this world with us and not the government, if you're going to leave this world with us and not the American Red Cross, if you're going to leave this world with us and not the housing authority, if you're going to leave this world with us and not the people that subsidize incomes and give food stamps. If you're going to leave this world with the church, you got to teach the church to do this thing that you do. What is this thing, Jesus, that you do when you go out into this secret place, this private place, this place where only you and God can get together? And when you come out, you walk on water. When you come out, you make thousands eat from a few loaves of bread. When you come out, dead people begin to wake up. When you come out, the cripple begin to straighten up and walk. Blind begin to see. Jesus, teach us how to do this. Because we don't want the world asking, can they find a praying church? Teach us how to pray. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I wish the Church of the Living God will stop being so fixated on stuff that don't concern the power of God to change the lives of people. Start putting our focus on what can the Berean Church at 4555 Fairfields Avenue do for people to flock all over this place from this city, so that we're going to have police escorts all around here stopping traffic. Because when this door opens, when the people of God, when the church begins to pray, things begin to happen. Healing begins to take place. Restoration begins to take place. Families begin to come back together. Wayward children begin to come home. What is it, God, that we need to know how to do so that when we do it, our pastor can see again? Those who have been diagnosed with diseases can be healed again. Church, the world is looking to find a praying church, because God will never keep make a promise he cannot keep. Mark Chapter 16. This is what he says about a praying church. Beginning with verse number 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Oh, bless his name. And these shall be the signs that will follow them. Okay, you think I'm making this up. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Let's read the Bible. I'm getting ready to close, but I want you to read Mark chapter 16. And verse number 15, I'm talking about, can I find a praying church? Mark chapter 16. In verse 15, when you find it, let me hear you say amen. Amen. You got it? All right, let's read, beginning with verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? I'm going to ask it one more time. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Okay, and what shall be the sign? And this sign shall follow them that believe. That's the church of the living God. They shall what? Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. Are you saying the praying church will be able to cast out demons? You're talking real hell-filled demons? Satan leading, controlling demons? He said, in my name, there. He's talking about a group. He's talking about pooling that faith and coming together to have that mustard seed size. In my name, he didn't say the pastor will cast out demons. The elders will cast out demons. The ushers will cast out. We have done God a disfavor in the church of the living God because we put all this stuff in pastors and preachers when God is giving it to the priesthood of believers. In my name, they who believe, or there are three believers in here today, say amen. Keep reading. Speak with new tongues. In other words, you're going to stop cussing. Yeah, when people get on your nerve, you're going to speak with holy tongue. You're going to speak a language that they can learn to help them to talk anew. Talking about, you don't want the old me to wake up. No, I don't want it to wake up. It should be dead and keep it in the grave. Christians come up with these sad excuses. God is still working on me. I know that. Just don't show me what he's working on. That will speak with other tongues. Let's keep reading. Oh, Lord. If they go to the hospital and the doctor mistakenly give them a medication that was not supposed to be for them, they'll just shake it off. If they go out somewhere and somebody jealous try to poison them, put something in their food, it just. If they drink something inadvertently, mistakenly, didn't know what it was and it's supposed to kill them. Oh, bless his name. Can you imagine somebody try to kill you, try to hurt you, try to poison you, and every day you're going by the house saying, you got something to eat? And they're wondering, what is going on? Why? I don't put this in there. I don't put that in there. I don't put this in. You know, when I came in to Louisiana, they told me, well, Pastor, you got to watch how you eat at certain people's home. I said, if that food is clean, I'm going to eat it. The only thing I watch for is unclean food. Nobody can take me out of here until Yahshua, Yahweh, say it's my time to go. If it ain't my time to go, baby, I ain't worried about what you got. Cook, I will eat. All right, go back to reading. Go back to reading. They shall lay hand. Church. Why are we here worrying about what people are wearing? We're wasting our time on tradition and customs and rituals, and the world is dying around us. Start doing some of this stuff. And then tell me you a child of God. And I'll believe it. Because he said, this is the sign that will follow the believers. Either God is lying or we don't have faith. And I know he's not lying. This is not Moses. This is not Peter. This is not James. This is Jesus. And if you read that text to the end, it says after that he went back to heaven. This is the last commission that he gave to his disciples. This is what you're going to have power to do when you start praying and stop taking yourself for granted. That's why I'm preaching today and encouraging you, church. You don't know how much power we possess. We're not using it. We're fixated on fringe stuff. Worrying about somebody dancing. Come on, church. Is that your problem? Worry about somebody dying without Jesus. When you had the power and the opportunity to do it. Worry about somebody killing themselves because they're so hurt, so discouraged, they're too scared to talk to somebody, can't get any help. And the church sits around and does nothing. You worrying about some young girl coming in here with some $2.50 earrings in her ear from Walmart. And you're driving a $45,000 car. How humble are you? Maybe that's why God took my sight, so I can't see how you look. I just preach. Church, we got to begin to focus on the mean things. And the reason I'm saying that, like I'm saying it, is because I love you. And I know you love me, and we want to get, we're all seeking to get to the right place, but we're not going to get there based on what we do or don't do. We're going to get the base on what he does. And we respond to what he does by what we do. He didn't say this should be the sign of them who believe they should be vegetarian. Maybe I read the text wrong. It's not the sign. They shall not wear jewelry. And what I'm saying is, yeah, we should be modest. I ain't got no rings on. And I've been with that woman for 28 years. I don't know what she sees on me, but she's still hanging with me. I ain't got to wear no ring to show nobody I love her or she loves me. But if somebody chooses that, that ain't the end of the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, get over it. Why are you worried about what I'm wearing? How many people you brought to Christ lately? Yeah, stop cleaning other people's fish. Go fish for yourself. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. And I'm going to end there. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring any accusation, any charge, any persecution against the elect of God? It is God who justifies. Mark that text and go and read it. Who shall bring any judgment? It is Christ who died. Yeah, who is risen and sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession. Leave God's people alone. That's what Paul is trying to say. You're so busy trying to correct other people, and you haven't brought one person to Jesus. November 3rd, I want you to have six people on your arms walking in here, Pastor. He mine, she mine, he mine. Then we can start talking. Folk, Jesus is about to come. And we are majoring in minors. Yes, the church has standards. Yes, the church has traditions, but they are the traditions of the church. Let's start doing some of Jesus' standards and Jesus' traditions. Let's begin to see a dying world and pack this place and say, Yahweh, we are pleading. Do you know how many children that grew up in this church right here, 45, 55, don't come here no more? Why can't we pray for God to bring them home? Why can't we pray for God to stop this plague in Baton Rouge? Black young people killing themselves and killing each other. Why don't we pray for the single sisters here in our church to find decent men and husbands? Why don't we pray for the single men here in our church to find decent? That's what we need to be praying for. Because you know what? You can pretend like it ain't happening. But there's a whole lot of stuff going on in the church. Because God has given us something called nature. And you can't ignore it. And there's a lot of, I had somebody call me not too long ago from somewhere else that I pastored. And the person said, Pastor, pray for me. To say, I feel dirty. I feel filthy. I just feel terrible. And I say, what does it, Pastor? I am still single. And when nature calls, I pleasure myself. I got these pleasure toys. This was a female. Blew my mind. And they come to church. Males. Let me tell you, there's a lot of struggle going on in the world. Damn, that's why the church cannot make any headway. We got people with real issues and don't have nobody to talk to, nobody to pray with them, nobody, because you're too holy for them to call you and say, I'm struggling, I'm suffering. And here's somebody who, after they do these kinds of things, after a while, the devil tell them you're nothing, you're filthy, you just need to kill yourself. And they end up taking a bottle of pill or cutting their wrist. That's where our world is, folk. And you can put blinders on all you want. It's happening right here. But if my people, I'm done, I get on the piano, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God say, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Can I find a praying church? Church that will call on God to clean us up. A church that will call on God to fill us with the Holy Ghost, a church that will call on God to turn not just us around, but our homes around, our communities around, our cities around, our nation around, a church that will call on God, who is willing and able to do more abundantly above all that we can think and ask. And when we pray, things will begin to happen. How many of you believe here today that when we pray, strongholds will be broken? When we pray, diseases will be healed. When we pray, husbands will love their wives again, and children will respect their parents again, and families will dine together and pray together and walk together again. When we pray, people's lives will be changed again. When we pray, God's power will come down and heaven will move and shake our souls. When we pray, things will be different. People will love again. People will smile again. People will be thankful again. When we pray, everything will be all right. When we pray, healing will take place. I'm looking for a praying church. I'm looking for a church that will say, God, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we know you can change us. You can heal us. Oh, Yahweh, this is not one of them shouting, dancing around three times, high fiving somebody prayer. But this is a sermon today, God intended to prick us, resurrect us, bring us to that place where we need to be in you. Stop being pretentious and start learning to live holy. Oh God, we love you. And we know you love us more. So God, do something with my church. Do something with my family. Do something with my people. Do something with my community, God. Give us a heart of humility. Give us a heart of recognizing that we need you more. We need each other more. God, make this place a safe place where we can come with all of our filth, with all of our flaws, with all of our fickleness, with all of our frailties. Make this place a place where we come and we're not looking over our shoulders, worried about what somebody's thinking, how they're going to size us up. But make this place a place where we can come, where heaven can come down and glory can fill our souls, where we can leave here and turn this world upside down for Jesus, because we believe that you can do it. Oh God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise today, because we are going to leave here being a praying church. Everybody standing right now. Everybody standing. I'm going to make this appeal. First, I'm going to call someone who wants to be a part of this body of believers. You say, I want to be a part of this church. I want to participate. I want to work here. I want to walk under this anointing. I want to be a part of this community. If you are here, I'm asking you to step out of your seat. You're coming, you've probably never been baptized before, but you're saying, I want to be baptized. I want to be under the leadership of this church. I want to be under the canopy of the spiritual guidance of this church. I want to be a member of the Berean Church of 4555 Fairfields. I want to come by baptism. I want to come by profession of faith. I want to come by Christian experience. If you are here, I'm asking you to step out of your seat and come, so we can pray for you and pray with you. God bless 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 you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God bless you. Somebody wants to be free. You want to be free. You want to be free. You've been entangled. You've been tied up. You've been bound up because you believe that you can make it. But I'm here to tell you, it's not you, it's him. It's your connection with him. Jesus paid it all. He's done it. He's paid for it. It is finished. You can walk in your deliverance. You can walk in that freedom today. Will you come? Will you come? Somebody's come up. They've broken the ice. Would you come? The doors of the church are open. Don't leave here the way you came if you know you're not right with God. Because this may be the last chance that you get. Don't put this off. Don't worry about who's looking and who's not looking. Because they got issues too. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? And this is my last call. I'm calling for those who want to be a part of it. God bless you. 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 Is that's Penny, you said? Oh, God, you know, I got to get, come on, can you put your hands together and bless God for Penny? Now, I saw somebody came over there. I don't know. I want to celebrate. Is that, who's that? Oh, this is a man? Oh, this is a black man? I should have heard more. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Now, I love you, Penny, but you know, I'm a little, you know, biased. When I see black men stand up for Jesus, you see the church is full of black women, but when a black man gets up and say, I won. It's, who's this, my elder? Okay, I don't want to miss anybody. I don't want to miss anybody. Now, I'm calling for prayer now. You want to say, God, I want to be committed to that 2 Chronicles 7:14 group that God talks about, the people who pray. I know I can't make it here every Wednesday, but I'm going to make it intentional. I'm going to make it an effort to show up here so we can start praying so God can turn this city around on our prayer. If you are here, I ask you to step out so we can pray together. Yeah. A commitment to pray. God bless you. Come on, put your hands together and bless God. They're coming. They're coming. The church is coming. The church is coming. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. God, these people are coming and they're saying they want to pray with this church whenever we come together for the hour of power. God, they may not make it 4 Wednesdays or 5 Wednesdays out of the month, but if they can make it 2 or 3 or 1, God, I pray like Solomon prayed. When your people gather to this place and call on your name, oh God, with the issues we have, when we bring it to you, when we cry for our children, our sons, our daughters, our husbands that are not in the faith, our wives that are not in the faith, God, when we come here on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:30 and cry, God, please hear us. Oh God, make a commitment to these people who've stepped out and are making a commitment to you. Please hear us and answer, God. And fill this place with your glory. God, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister Penny, God. We thank you, God, for restoration. We thank you for renewal. We thank you for revival, God. I thank you for the Berean church. I thank you for the praying people that are here, God. I thank you for Marshall, God. I thank you for her daughter and her children, God. I thank you, God, for the elders, the deacons, the deaconesses, the ushers, the ministry leaders, women's ministry, children ministry, singles ministry, youth ministry, health ministry, seniors ministry. God, I thank you. We are few in number, but God, is only but for a time. I see you doing something awesome here that will explode in this place. Do it, God. Do it again. You did it on the day of Pentecost. You can do it again. Do it again, God. Do it again for your glory. Do it again for the edification of your people. Do it again for your name, God. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen. Say hallelujah.